everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers.
So let's get started. Today, we're speaking with Dana Lewis, aka King D, on how to maintain trust in relationships. King D is a premarital and marriage counselor and the number one couples counselor in Baltimore, Maryland. You all may remember King D from one of our previous episodes entitled Men and Mental Health Part 2 back in season 6. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen to it. We are available everywhere you listen to podcasts. For those who didn't listen, King D, please reintroduce yourself.
Hey, Queens, glad to be here with you guys again. My name is Dana Lewis. I'm a certified premarital and marriage counselor, number one Baltimore's couples therapist doing it right now. And I'm glad to be here to talk about relationships tonight. I'm all about Black love. So let's dive into the conversation. I'm ready.
I know that's right. He said, listen, y'all will find out who I am through this conversation. I got to give that much introduction. Google me. So as you know, trust is the faith you have in someone that they will have your back and do what they said they will do and et cetera, right? We know trust is important for relationships because it creates closeness. So what are some of the building blocks of trust, or how can trust be built, you know, in relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the building blocks when we're talking about trust, a couple things come to my mind. The first thing is communication. You can't have no trust if we're not communicating, right? So we got to have open, honest, and most importantly, transparent conversations for us to trust one another, right? Because I need to know what is on your mind. What are you feeling? What are some of your concerns? And something that I've been telling my couples recently when it comes to communication and trust is that when we are communicating in the relationship, that allows me to what? Locate you. If we're not communicating, I can't locate you. I don't know where you're at. So if I don't know where you're at, how can I look to even trust you? So looking to have that open and honest and transparent communication lays the groundwork or the foundation when we're talking about trust. And another thing when it comes to trust, right, and communication, if I'm able to share with you my most honest thoughts, my honest feelings, and I'm just open it all the way up, how I can trust you moving forward is if when I open up in that capacity, you're not judging me, you're not criticizing me, and most of all, you're not using my vulnerability later down the line as a weapon. So communication is one of the building blocks to trust. Another building block to trust that is major is reliability. And when I'm talking about reliability, is your word your bond? Meaning that if you say that I'm going to do this for you in the relationship, is your actions consistent? Are you reliable? Because a person that shows that they are reliable and that they are consistent with their actions day in and day out in the relationship, that communicates, you know what? I can trust them. Are you reliable in showing up for my feelings? Are you reliable about being emotionally available? Are you reliable? So reliability communicates to your partner that we can move forward. You can be trusted because I can count on you showing up in this particular fashion. So that's a second building block. Another building block when we're talking about building trust in a relationship is being authentic. Being authentic, showing me the real you, not the mask you, not the perceived, whatever. Me showing you me wholeheartedly allows me to know that, you know what? I'm getting the most authentic version of this person each and every time, and they're not holding back. I'm seeing the real you. So being authentic as you are showing up in the relationship, as you are engaging with that person in the relationship, helps to build trust. And another building block when we're talking about trust is being able to, again, be vulnerable. Vulnerability promotes trust, right? Because if I'm vulnerable, that means like, I'm not holding nothing back. I know that each and every time that this person that I'm in a relationship with, they're going to keep it real with me. They're going to keep it honest with me. And they're not afraid to let it all hang out and share. And if I know that, I know that I can trust them in that moment moving forward. So those are some of the building blocks to trust.
First of all, I know Queen P is going to go, but I had to say, you sure you're not a pastor? Because you sure was preaching a sermon. Yeah, okay. Because I think people don't realize, you know, it sounds simple, but these are things that are so hard for people to do, right? People are not showing up as their authentic self. And then when their real self comes out, they're wondering why the other person is like, who is this person? I don't even know you, right? People are not accepting others for who they are, right? And what they're saying and what they're sharing. People do not know how to communicate, right? That's the very first thing, right? There's a lot of, you know, concern with their feelings, not ready to understand someone else's, not speaking or not even speaking about their feelings, right? Allowing the other person's feelings to matter more than theirs. So it's a combination of so many things. And because of that, you cannot build trust, right? You have to, you know, really be able to validate. You have to be honest. You have to be receptive, right? All of these things help build trust, because you're right. If you don't have those building blocks, you're not going to trust the other person.
Yeah. And like I say, like, if there's no trust, there's no relationship, period. And I get it, right? Like, when you're dating, you want to present the best version of yourself, right? So you may be withholding certain things. You're trying to show the person that, hey, I'm great. You know what I mean? I'm presenting the best. But if we're saying that we're looking to do life together, we're saying that we want to go beyond just this dating and really getting to know each other beyond the surface, we have to show our most vulnerable selves. We can't mask certain things, because if we mask certain things, that right there fractures trust. Because like I tell some of my couples, like, I'd rather you know something that has gone on with me in the light than having to find out in the dark. Because if I find out stuff about you in the light, we can work through that. We can navigate that. But if I happen to find out in the dark and you were kind of posing as one way, but then I find out something else and I had to find it in another route, then right there, I'm looking at you different, and it could cause what trust issues moving forward. So that's something that I look to make sure that, hey, if it's something that you need to get out, just put it out there and let the chips fall where they fall, and trust and believe that if you put it out there in the light, we can work through that. But if it's found out in the dark, it's going to be a lot more work to build back up that trust.
I absolutely agree. I just want to add this one little piece. Well, two things, because, you know, my mind is like a rabbit. I'm like, whoop, all over the place. So when you said reliability, what came to my mind was the idea of, is your word your bond, like you said, right? And there's a show called The Trust on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Where people have gone and said to each other, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to do this one thing. And then they get in front of somebody else, and that's exactly what happens. Their word is not their bond. They're voting. They're doing things they have no business doing.
Right.
The second thing is, which is ridiculous and crazy, because ultimately, how can you get, there's two people in a relationship, right? Or unless you're in a polyamorous situation. And how can you get what you want out of the relationship if you're not showing up to it, right? Like, everybody got to get something out of this. What am I getting if I'm not even arriving to the situation?
Right, right. Because you hit it right on the head. You can't expect something that you're not willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
We both got to show up to the party. If what we want to get out of the relationship, if we're looking to meet each other's needs, we both got to show up.
Absolutely. And the second thing that came to my mind was, see, and I lost my train of thought. That's why I don't be talking, because I forget so fast. It was about the trust. And then the other piece was about something else, child, but I'll get to it at some point. I'll remember. All right. So given your experience as a couples counselor, what do you think are some of the barriers of building trust in relationships? Are there any specific issues that stand out the most more than others? Because you deal with couples. Do you find that all men don't listen? Because I'm sure some women therapists will be like, you know, men got a filter and they just don't get it. So do you find that one thing stands out more than another?
Yeah. So with that, right, what I've seen in just my work with couples, one of the major factors that impacts trust in a relationship is based upon the parental connection that they had with their parents, right? So if the parental connection was in a way where the parent wasn't really meeting that person's needs, or the parent wasn't showing up for them in certain events, certain cases in their life, or certain important aspects of their life, that can influence how they see trust in other people, because my parents wasn't trustworthy. So how can I trust you if the person that was responsible for me growing up, I couldn't trust them? So now they look through the lens of the parent when they are in relationships or if they are married. I can't trust my partner because I had issues with trusting my father or trusting my mother. So that was a traumatic experience, right? So they route that over to the relationship and it causes trust issues to be presented in the relationship, where that person is showing them that, hey, you can trust me. I'm being reliable. I'm consistent with my actions. I'm not doing nothing where you have to question me. But because of that unresolved parental trauma of that trust right there not being solidified from that connection, it's causing me to have some mistrust in my marriage or in my relationship. And that's something that I see a lot in my couples therapy sessions. Like, I had a brother who was talking about how he doesn't feel like he could open up because he doesn't trust the fact of opening up to somebody, because when he was opening up to his father was very dismissive of his feelings. And then when he would try to go to his mother and talk about his feelings, the mom was too busy. She was trying to hold it down. So he was like, nobody doesn't listen to me. I get pushed away when I did express myself. So I don't trust that my wife has the capacity or the ability to hold space for me, even though the wife is saying, you know, I'm your helpmate. You know, I'm rocking with you. You know, you can count on me. You know that I'm patient with you. But he just couldn't see it because of that unresolved trauma from his connection to his parents and trust there. So that's what I see a lot across the board in my couples therapy sessions.
So two things. One, I want to go back because there was something you said about locating somebody. And we need to break that down, because people are like, what you mean locate? You mean where I'm, my whereabouts? Where I'm at? Well, I got to tell you where I'm at. You know, that's what people who don't understand what you're saying would say. So please elaborate on that. And then I'm going to go back to where we were.
Yeah. So pretty much locate means, what are you thinking? You know, what are you feeling? What are some of your triggers? You know, what are some of your past traumas that you may have experienced? What are some of your goals? What's your vision for your life? I want to know these things. I want to locate you on these things that goes beyond the surface so that we can create this trust and this intimacy, and so that we can open up on that level. So that's what it means to locate, right? Also, again, locate means, okay, how are you feeling about the relationship? Was there something that I might have done that impacted you and hurt your feelings, right? If we're not talking about those things, then again, I can't locate you in the most deepest and most intimate ways. So that's what locate means.
Yeah, I'm gonna check your temperature. I need to know. I need to know where you at.
Yeah, right? You know, like kind of like the Joe song. I want to know.
All right. Okay.
I ain't no singer, but yeah, I want to know.
Listen, King D is a therapist. He is a pastor, and now he's a singer. Okay.
Yeah, because one of the things that I say is that if a person is invested in you, they want to know all about you. It's like when you get a car, right? You get this new car, you invested in the vehicle. You want to know all the bells and whistles, how this works. You reading the manual. You want to know. So if a person is really investing in you and they saying that they love you, they want to know the deepest, most innermost thoughts and feelings and everything about you.
That's a fact. That is 100% a fact. And I think that ties in then now to what you're saying, right? I have found in my work with people, whether it's couples or even just the individual, talking to them about their relationship. This is it, right? Their connection with their parent. How were things when they were growing up? What did they see in relationships? You know, all of those things affect how they are in a relationship. They bring all of that. And we can talk about, you know, their previous relationships and what they experienced there. That has effect too. But we need to sometimes go from where it started, right? Because that's where you learn. That's where you see. That's where you, you know, develop a sense of self, right? And how you're going to relate to the world. That's where you get it from. So we got to go unpack that so that you can be present focused because you live it in the past.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Because like you were saying, the first place that we learn about relationships in the world is at home. What we experience at home from our parents or family members, that teaches us about the world at large. So absolutely. And that's one of the things that I ask my couples when we have our initial session is talk to me about what did you observe when it comes to relationships or marriage from your family or from your community? And then they just start talking about that history. And then as they are talking about the history, they are able to start to connect the dots as far as, oh, so this is how I've been showing up in relationships because of what I've observed from my community or from my family when it came to marriages or relationships. So that's a major factor when we're talking about how we present ourselves and how we keep relationships moving forward is what did you see from your family or the community?
This is true. Now, this season, we've been talking about the effects of social media on relationships, right? Whether they're friendships, the effects of social media on your life, just in general. So now that we're in this digital age, where most of us have a certain level of skepticism about things we see and hear, what are some ways in which we can challenge ourselves when it comes to trusting or not trusting others?
Absolutely. So with that being said, because we are in a social media age and everybody gets their information from TikTok, Instagram, and other social media platforms, and everybody has access to a microphone, we all can get out our thoughts at rapid rates. Everybody's talking about relationships, mental health, finances, the list goes on. But one of the things that I often remind people is while you're listening to these people, even if you're coming on my page and you're looking at my content or hearing my videos, do your own due diligence and investigate what the person is talking about. I think a lot of times we take everything that people say as law because, oh, they got 1 million followers. Oh, they got the blue check. Oh, they this top influencer. Where we also have to understand that people are subjected to what? Human error. We are all humans on this platform who all have what? Flaws. So with that being said, not saying that the information is not solid or good, but go behind the information that you get. Do the due diligence and investigate it for yourself. And also, right, something that I tell people too, is when it comes to social media and getting relationship content. Okay, it could be great. It could be very valuable. And some of the stuff you can take and implement it in your relationship. But you and your partner have to have a vision for the relationship that you guys are embarking. Because the people on social media may say, we don't do 50-50. Don't do 50-50 as far as paying bills and all this. But if 50-50 works for y'all, and that's the vision of the house that y'all got, then y'all do what y'all do. Don't let these outside voices throw you off course or out of alignment to the vision that you guys have for the relationship. And this is where the conversation about, when we talk about vision, this is where the conversation comes in about what are our values when it comes to being in this relationship? What are the principles, right? And having those type of trust conversations, open conversations, so that we are in agreement, no matter what I say, what you say, or what other platforms are saying, because we are in agreement. So if we are listening to these other platforms, it's a bonus because we are clear. That's kind of how I help couples navigate the social media frenzy when it comes to relationships. Be clear about the direction of your relationship, because we also got to keep in mind too that people are talking from what their experiences. Some of these podcasts are talking from their experiences. And sometimes the experiences that they're talking from are from a place of hurt, pain, trauma. And we got to be very mindful about what we put into our ear gates and what we're putting through our eye gates if we're saying that we want to have a healthy relationship. So those are my thoughts.
You know, thank you for saying that, King D, because what came up for me when you said, now I'm going to try to remember this time, okay? So, no. Lord, help me. Be a memory stick, Lord. Okay. When you said, what are the values, right? What is the vision for our relationship? What came to my mind is also, what's the mission?
What's the mission?
Are we in a relationship to get married? What are the expectations, right? What do you expect from me? What does that look like day to day? Mm-hmm. How can I show up in this way, right? And how can you show up as my partner or in partnerships? Because everybody's poly these days, right? So I just want to add that piece. Like, you know, people don't talk a lot about expectations. I think they come to the table with, well, this is what I saw my mama do, so this is what I'm gonna do.
Oh, I saw this influencer fly out to Dubai and do it like this, so I'm expecting you to do it like that. How they live in their life, this is what I'm assuming that you're going to be doing. Where it's like, no, your partner is not a mind reader. You got to communicate expectations, not just one time, but it may be several times you're going to communicate expectations, because relationships, marriages go through what? Seasons. And when we're going through seasons, expectations can what? Are subject to change. And expectations aren't one size fits all. That could be like the love languages. One season, I'm needing gifts from you. Then in the next season, I might need quality time. But if we're not having the conversation, if we're just going off assumptions, because assumptions are one of the main determining things that can kill a relationship. I'm assuming that you need to be loved like this. I'm assuming this is how you need me to communicate. Whereas no, it's like, no, let me ask the questions. Let me ask, as we say in the therapy world, the exploratory questions to really get a grasp and a hold of you in this relationship. We got to stop assuming or going off of other people's lives and trying to force fit it into our relationship if it doesn't align to, like you said, the mission or the vision.
King D, I'm about to pay you some money because I was just about to tell my whole business on here, okay?
You in church.
Because this was the story of a last relationship, okay? But we're not going to go there, okay? They're not ready for all that.
So, we're coming back for part two.
Exactly. Listen, because people be thinking social workers don't have life, right? Therapists don't have life. We have whole lives. Sometimes we be having the funkiest relationships.
Absolutely. So somebody had asked me in couples therapy, hey, Mr. Lewis, you know, with all the tools that you're giving us, I know like your marriage be hitting, boy. And I'm like, I'm a human. And he looked, he was like, Right. I'm like, yeah, I'm a human. I mean, of course, I'm going to use what I'm giving y'all. I'm not capping. But at the same time, I dropped the ball. I missed the mark. So just because I'm a couples therapist doesn't mean I get it right all the time. I'm learning and growing as well. It's just like this running joke that I've had for years, right? It's like an R&B singer. You expect an R&B singer to be so romantic if you were to connect with an R&B singer. Well, they may be far from romantic. They just putting on the performance, but when they get home, they might be old jerks. Who knows? You know what I mean?
So somebody done wrote them lyrics. They not living that life. They just singing the song because they got the voice. That's it.
Right. They performing. So we all are growing and learning. We human. So yeah.
And I know Queen P has a question, but there's one more thing, because you know I'm the talker. So she said, I'm sorry, but I was looking at social media today because we're on the topic of social media, but we're also on the topic of living other people's lives. And there was, they have these posts where like, am I the asshole kind of thing like that. And so the person writes in asking, basically, are they the asshole because her mother told her to have a get out of here savings just in case, right? You know, in her relationship. So she got married, the husband's paying the bills, she's the one managing the money, so she taking money out. Mm-hmm. She taking money out to put in her savings for a rainy day, or I need to get safe kind of fund. At first it was $750 every month. Then when they had got on a little rough patch, it was $200. So now she done saved $47,000. Mm-hmm. He comes home one day and like, listen, my job is killing me. I need to slow down, right? Because I'm getting burnt out, whatever. And she was like, no, we can't do that. Because we done built a lifestyle we need to maintain. And he's like, what are you talking about? Right? Like all the stuff. So long story short, he ends up looking at the finances and he sees regular withdrawals from her. And he's like, what is this? So she ends up telling him the truth. And so instead of from the beginning, like, hey, boo, you know what? Even though you're 100% paying the bills, I would like to have my own money. He didn't want her to work. That was the conversation. He didn't want her to work. She went along with it, but she want her money, right? So anyway, long story short, he's hurt. He's upset because it's like, you don't think we're going to work. You didn't think we were going to work. You did this, you did that, and there was no conversation. So he ended up leaving the house, went to stay with his brother. Mm-hmm. And so now she's like, well, I wish he would, you know, get it together, but this is the day my mom talked about, so maybe I need to get out of Dodge. What the hell? You ain't...
Yeah, so I saw that. And my thing is when you let other people into your relationship or your marriage to influence you. And I know that's mom, Dukes. I know that's mom. She probably love her mom. But we also have to understand that if we are married, right, we leaving and cleaving. So that conversation shouldn't have never been had with her mom, right, about the not act right fund. If he don't act right, you got to have some funds. Because at the end of the day, even from the mother's point of view, You kind of forecasting divorce over their marriage by even having that conversation. So then it puts in the daughter's heart and mind, of just her mindset and spirit, that, oh, my mother told me if he don't act right, you know, let me put some money to the side. And then, you know, she probably has a close connection with her mom, obviously, to have that conversation. So now the mother unknowingly has what? Stepped into the marriage, and now she's a third party in that marriage, causing all sorts of confusion, drama, and discord, because now the daughter is acting upon that. So that's why it's very important, especially when we're talking about finances. We got to be upfront about that. What's the goals when it comes to finances? Is it that you want to stay home? What's the plans for that? What's the vision for that? And let's be clear about finances. And how are we setting up these accounts? Let's talk about it. What does our retirement accounts look like? What does emergency accounts look like? We talking about it together on site. We not doing no backdoor type of activities, because again, when he found out, he was hurt. And I could feel him on that. It's like, you're doing these backhanded things and you're leaving me in the what? In the dark. Kind of goes back to what I said before. If you find out in the dark, that's a stinger right there. Where if you would have told me up front, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm thinking about this, or I'm feeling this way about our marriage. Let's talk about it like this, blah, blah, blah. Then we could have worked out maybe a contingency plan or something else. But with you doing stuff like that, how can I trust you moving forward? But again, it's about having those conversations about who we allow into our marriage or relationship, and who's not supposed to be here to safeguard this relationship, especially when we're talking about marriage. When we're talking about marriage, and then I'm just being honest with you guys, when it comes to my wife, I'm very protective. I'm not letting nobody come in my house and disrupt the peace of my home, period. Mama, dad, who I don't care. No.
That's right.
We are not doing that. And we are very clear about who we allow into our marriage. If it's mentors, you know my mentor. I know your mentor. If it's whoever that we trust, we know of them. And we are actually communicating with them. So that's my thoughts on that.
I love how you said ain't nobody supposed to be here. I was singing the whole song in my head. I'm like, you're absolutely right. People have their feelings about the institution, but it's completely up to the people who are in it to decide what that looks like. Like you've been saying all along, and for sure, like there's got to be peace with the person you're married to. So y'all got to work that out for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
So how do you maintain trust in a relationship?
Yeah. So how we maintain trust? We got to communicate. Communicate, over-communicate. From the smallest thing to the medium thing to the largest thing. Communicate. Let your actions be consistent. If you say you're going to do something for your partner, do it. You know what? Not only does that build trust, but that builds what? Credibility. You're credible now to your partner and you're trustworthy to your partner if you're consistent with your actions. So be consistent with your actions, communicate, and also how we build trust is by having opportunities where we check in on one another, having these scheduled, uninterrupted check-in conversations allows us to keep the trust and the intimacy, right, flowing, because in these transparent but check-in conversations, again, going back to what I said earlier, I'm locating you. I'm getting to know your deepest thoughts, your deepest feelings, your concerns, your needs, and everything else in between. So having that in place as well in your relationship regimen allows for trust to be sustained and built upon in the relationship. So those are like the three things that I recommend.
Yeah, and those three things also work in your friendships, right? And look, in all relationships. So if you're not in the season of dating or marriage, but you in the season of your friendships, of your family, hey, that's the same thing. You have to be consistent. You have to communicate, right? All of those things are the things you have to do to maintain solid relationships in general. So let's practice with everyone around us, right? That we feel are important to us, not just everybody, because people are crazy, but you know what I'm saying.
I get it.
So, you know, as we wrap up, what is it that you want the people to know? What do you want to leave the people with?
Yeah. So what I want to leave the people with as they are listening to this podcast episode is that when it comes to growing in relationships and you see that you need to grow in this area, don't avoid the work that it takes to grow. Confront it head on. Because avoiding the work that it takes to grow personally in certain areas of the relationship is only going to cause it to what? Pile up. But if you say, you know what? I've personally identified these are the areas I need to grow. Lean into it. Invest time into it. Invest study into it. Tap into therapy. Do whatever you need to do to make change in that area so that you can show up the best way for your partner.
That was perfect. OMG. I appreciate you saying that.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Yes. So let the people know how we get in touch with you.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at @urban_counselor. If you're in the Baltimore area and you're looking to tap into premarital or couples counseling, you can connect with me at www.wholelifecenterservices.org. That's a long website, but tap in if you want to get some work done in your relationship. And if you want your relationship to go from surviving to thriving, I got some spaces open for couples therapy. If you're in the Baltimore area, tap in with me. But yeah, follow me on Instagram, urban_counselor. I'm there.
And we'll have it in the show notes. So if you didn't catch all of that, don't worry, we got y'all. Thank you so much, Dana Lewis, King D, yes, for coming on again.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and I look to come back again.
Oh, absolutely.
We can talk about you. We can talk all about you.
Get in my business, y'all. Y'all know y'all want to know, okay? Because listen, mama has lived, as Queen P will say. All right, y'all.
If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.